Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Audio Mystery Theatre presents The Ornamental Hermit, a D.S. Billings mystery. Part 1. The Wild Man of Sutton Courtney.
Here, Billings, how'd you write very? Is it one R or two?
One.
You sure? Ain't it the same as merry? As in Merry Christmas?
I'm sure.
The man was wearing a very long red coat. It don't look right.
It's one R, Clarkson, trust me.
It were a striking coat, Billings. Went all the way down to his ankles. Had a furry collar and it were bright red. Very what's the word I'm thinking of, Billings?
Conspicuous.
That's the one. How'd you write it?
Don't write conspicuous.
Why not?
It's subjective. Just write that it was long and red.
He looked just like one of them Russian warriors, you know, with the red coats and the fur hats. How'd you call them, Billings? These Russian soldiers?
Do you mean Cossacks?
That's it. He looked just like a Cossack. Probably was one, come to think of it. Bloody Russians. And we got enough crime to deal with without having to chase after foreign counterfeiters.
You're at Scotland Yard now, Clarkson. That's what we do.
My feet are killing me. Do you know that? I spent all day walking around a blooming city, shadowing my target.
You do see that I'm reading, don't you?
What?
I'm sitting here at the end of my shift with a book in my hands. You do see that, don't you?
Of course I see that.
Well then, maybe you can be quiet and let me read.
Sorry. What are you reading anyway?
Robinson Crusoe.
Oh. What's it about?
I don't know. I haven't had a chance to get into it yet. I keep reading the same passage over and over again. It is a secret overruling decree that hurries us on to be the instruments of our own destruction. Even though it be before us, we rush upon it with our eyes open.
What does it mean?
I don't know. But it sounds ominous.
What's ominous? Oh, blimmin' heck. If that's Jack, you better not have a message from those coppers, Jack.
I have, sir. They've arrested a man. They're asking will you come down and take a statement.
No, it's 6:10 and I'm about to go home. Go back to those coppers and tell them there was no one here.
But, sir, 'tis a special one, this.
Oi, hobbit ahoy. Did you hear what I said?
But they say it's the Wild Man of Sutton Courtney.
How do they know it's him?
Well, it's a rough-looking man with a dirty beard.
Sounds
and...
Sounds like another shivering jemmy to me. Tell those coppers to let him go.
But, sir...
It's all right, Jack. Someone will be down shortly.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I don't believe this. I've been running around London all day chasing some blooming Russian, and when I finally get to sit down for a few minutes, I have to interview some bloody tramp. And I'll have to write another blessed report. It'll take ages before I get home. Billings, me old mate.
No.
I don't suppose you could...
It was my turn yesterday and I've got my day off tomorrow. I'm going home.
Go on, have an art. It's pork tonight. Me ribs waiting at home for me with me sawney. The little ones are starving. waiting for their daddy to come home.
Such a picture of blissful domesticity you paint.
Be a sport, Billings, me old mate. You ain't got nothing to do tonight, have you? The wild man of Sutton Courtney, Billings. Fancy that. Sounds like an interesting case for you.
I've never heard of the wild man of Sutton... What was it?
Sutton Courtney. It's a good case, Billings. You'll like it.
Well, all right then.
You're a good man, Billings, me old mate.
But you owe me.
Oh, Sergeant Billings. It's you, is it? Weren't you on duty last night?
I was. Who have you caught?
Oh, we got a big one tonight. Didn't Jack mention it?
He mentioned something about the wild man of...
Sutton Courtney, Sergeant. Brendan the Crane? The wild man of Sutton Courtney? You'll have read all about it.
Well, I must confess, I...
Blimey neck, you bunch of dicks. I thought Detective Constable Clarkson was on duty. And we better get him.
I'm on duty, Constable. Now, where is this man?
He's in the cell. The Berkshire County Constabulary feared he'd find his way down to London and publish a sketch in the Police Gazette. A patrol officer found him sleeping in the bushes in Battersea Park. It wasn't until he tried speaking to him that he realised who he was.
Why?
I'll show you why. Here, Jack. Help me pin the suspect down to the wall so I can show the sergeant.
Yes, sir.
All right, Brendan. We're just coming in to have a look at you. Nothing to worry about. You ready, Jack? When I say go, you grab him by the right arm. Got that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Go! That's it, Jack. Hold his arm tightly. Disable the use of his elbows. And then push him up by the armpits.
Say, steady on, Constable. You're hurting him.
This is a dangerous man, Sergeant. Now, open your mouth, Brendan. Go on. Show the sergeant what you've got. That's it. Do you see that?
It's dark. I can't see very well.
Look closely, Sergeant. In his mouth, there's something not there that ought to be.
My God. His tongue.
That's right.
He has no tongue.
No tongue, Sergeant. That's our monkey, all right. All right, Jack. On the count of three. One, two, three. All right. Back to your chair.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Lockram, my name is Detective Sergeant Billings.
He don't speak, Sergeant. No tongue, remember?
But he can hear.
There's no point, Sergeant. We tried talking to him ourselves. He won't respond.
Do you hear me, Mr. Lockram?
I told you.
How do you know you've got the right man?
How do I know? Because he fits a description, that's how. See? He is here in the Police Gazette. A rough-looking man, about 6'3", shoulder-length hair, unkempt, brown and grey beard, most likely caked with mud, and no tongue. Look for yourself.
He's not quite 6'3", though, is he?
What?
The Police Gazette describes him as being 6'3". He's shorter than that.
This is our man, Sergeant. The wild man of Sutton Courtney. We've done our job. We caught our monkey. Now it's your job to gather the evidence and get him hanged.
Berkshire aristocrat murdered by axe-wielding wild man. The Berkshire County Constabulary reports that on the 21st of October 1890, the body of Lord Palmer was found face down in the woods of his estate, with a hatchet sticking out of his shoulder blades. The hatchet was identified as one belonging to Brendan Lockran, a vagrant known locally as the Wild Man of Sutton Courtney, who had been living and working on Lord Palmer's estate. The body had been robbed of £5, 3 shillings, a gold watch and a gold-plated cameo ring. The whereabouts of Lockran is currently unknown, but the police suspect him of being on his way to London. The Berkshire Constabulary describe him as being 6'3", with long ruffled hair and a long black beard, which he may now have shaved off. He is also described as having no tongue. The public are urged to report any sightings of an individual matching these descriptions to the police and under no circumstances to approach him themselves. Why did I allow Clarkson to talk me into this? There is nothing more stress-inducing than a sensational case that has captured the interest of the national press. Oh, God. My heart's going now. And my hand's trembling. Oh, this blessed case has hastened my symptoms. Damn you, Clarkson.
Is that you, Mr. Billings? You're late. I left a bowl of soup on your table. Hope it hasn't got too cold.
Oh, my goodness, the state of this room. Really, Mr. Billings. When are you going to brighten this room up a bit, eh? Looks like a blooming prison cell in here. There, that's better. You should let me put some colourful drapes up for you. I've got an aspidistra in the lounge. You could have that. That'll cheer things up a bit. It's a good job you never have any visitors. I'll be too embarrassed to show them this room. Here, you ain't eaten any of my soup. You all right? What are you doing on the bed? Oh, you've taken that morphine again. And you've been a detective and all. Ain't you supposed to stay bright and alert? You used to be my prize tenant, you know that? Detective Sergeant Billings from the Metropolitan Police. Now look at you. Oh, well, I better close those curtains again. And I'll take the soup back to the kitchen. You're usually quite hungry when you wake up from your trance. Oh, it's not easy being a detective, I know that. All that misery all day long. Hope the morphine gives you some relief.
Mr. Billings, good morning. There's a letter for you.
A letter?
It was delivered by an elegant lady. She was dressed all in black. I told her you were in and she could deliver the letter to you herself, but she was in such an hurry. I'll put it on your breakfast plate.
Thank you.
An acquaintance of yours, is it?
No.
She was awfully smart. Not a relative of yours, is she?
Nope.
Just a friend, then. A lady friend.
I'll have porridge and coffee, as usual. Thank you, Mrs. Appleby.
Right you are.
My dear John, I may call you John, I hope. I have known you for so long, and I've been following your life with such interest. I hear you have been promoted to the CID. Mr. Forrester and I send you our warmest congratulations. You must be wondering why I am writing to you after all these years. Something has happened which has upset us both very much, and we need your help. It's about Sebastian. I do not want to put this in writing, but I would like to meet you. Could you come to the meeting house today at 4? Why don't we see you at the meeting house anymore? God is in you, John, waiting for you to give him the opportunity to shine through. I hope you don't feel I'm being too forward or that I am in any way interfering, but there is so much of you that reminds me of our dear Sebastian. The same darkness that cloaked his life cloaks yours, and I just know that God can help you lift it. Trusting to see you at today's meeting and wishing you strength and love, yours truly, Mrs. Cecilia Forrester.
Oh, damn it. I'm going to have to meet her now.
Oh, John, you came. Oh, John. My dear, dear John, but you didn't come into the meeting house. Why didn't you come in?
I no longer attend Quaker meetings.
Oh, but John, you should.
Where is Mr. Forrester?
Mr. Forrester is at home. He's dying. But look at you. You look good. But then, are you eating? And when are you going to find yourself a nice young wife to settle down with?
Dying? What do you mean, dying?
Oh, he's been deteriorating slowly for the last few years, John. He won't last the year. That's why it was so urgent for us to see you.
To see me about what?
I'll tell you on the way home. Come, there's a cab waiting for us. Mr. Forrester has been ill for some time. He's never been the same since Sebastian went missing. It's his heart. He's been suffering terribly from palpitations. I blame it on the stress and the expense we incurred in finding Sebastian. Do you know how much money we paid those incompetent detectives in Cumberland? We should have employed you.
I was only a constable at the time.
They profited from us. They milked us. Combing the hills, dragging the lakes. That's what hurts the most. That in the midst of our desperation, our grieving, somebody else tried to profit. We got a letter.
A letter?
From him. From Sebastian. He's back in Oxford. He sent us a letter.
Sebastian sent you a letter after all these years? So he's back?
I don't know. We were in Oxford last week. Both of us. Mr. Forrester, sick as he was, insisted he'd come with me.
And?
And nothing. We waited a whole week at that tea room he'd suggested for our meeting. But he didn't show up, and we had no way of locating him. We inquired everywhere, but nobody could enlighten us. So we went back home. Mr. Forrester thinks it may have been an imposter.
An imposter?
Mr. Forrester is dying, John. I told you that. There's a large inheritance at stake. Anyone can pretend to be Sebastian. It's been 10 years. This is it. This is our street. Do you remember it?
Of course I do.
Of course you do. You practically grew up here. Tell the driver to stop, will you? You must be quiet. He's usually asleep at this time, and I don't want to scare him. We put his bed in the drawing room so he wouldn't feel alone. Freddy, are you awake? I've got John Billings with me.
John?
You remember, dear? Gideon Billings' son, the detective. He's here. Come in. He's awake.
Hello, sir.
Oh, show him the letter, Cecilia.
Oh, not now, dear. Let him sit down first and have a cup of tea.
Show him the letter, goddammit. I haven't much time. I'm dying.
Oh, Freddy, really?
So, John Billings, eh?
How are you, sir?
Come here. Step into the light. Let me have a look at you. Ah, yes. I recognize you now. There's traces of your mother about you.
I know.
Nothing of your father.
No.
Good man he was. Deep thinker, but morose.
Yes, I think I may have inherited that from him.
Did good work for our faith in Africa. And your mother, too. Great shame it ended the way it did. What was it, malaria?
Yellow fever.
Did Mrs. Forrester tell you about the letter?
She told me you received one.
We need someone to investigate.
Yes, I understand that, but...
I'm dying. Did she tell you that?
Yes, sir, she did.
All expenses will be paid. Wages too, if you wish.
I understand that, Mr. Forrester, but I really can't leave London now. I've just been given a new case, and
we
I...
We looked after you. Your mother was destitute when she came back with you from Africa. Not a penny to her name.
I know, and I appreciate that.
I want to see my son again, John. I only have the one. And I want to see him before I die. I may not be around next month.
Here's the letter.
John's taking the case.
Oh, I knew you would. Thank you. You are the only one who knows Sebastian well enough.
Actually, I don't know him well at all.
Of course you do. You grew up together.
But we didn't. He was already in university when I moved in.
Oh, you remember him, John? He was an unusual child. Wild and stubborn and passionate. Do you remember, Freddy? Do you remember how he used to run around the garden naked? Stark and naked he was. We couldn't get him to put his clothes back on. And no type of weather could deter him. Rain, snow, you turned your back and there'd be a pile of clothes on the floor. And he'd be out there, naked like a savage, enjoying God's world in blissful innocence. How old was he then, Freddy? 9? I think he felt trapped by his clothes. He felt restricted. He couldn't bear restrictions. I asked him once. I asked him why he did it. Because I want to feel the elements, he said. Elements. That's the very word he used. He wanted to feel the elements on his skin. If God wants me to be cold, I'll be cold. If God wants me to be wet, I'll be wet, he said. But God doesn't want you to get ill, I said. That's why he invented clothes. Oh, he had a very special way of looking at things, even at that age.
Will you shut up, woman?
Freddy!
He was weak. That's why he couldn't hack it at the theological college. He was a dreamer. A romantic, quixotic fool.
It's his illness talking, John. The constant pain makes him
this
angry.
This is the devil's realm we live in. That's what he couldn't understand. This is the devil's realm and we're all stained with the devil's
spore. You had better go. He starts talking nonsense when he's tired. Here, take this with you. This was his writing box in college. The letter is in there, and others too, so you can compare the handwriting. Study them. They might give you clues. Thank you, John. Thank you for doing this for us. If anyone can find him, it's you.
So, this is Sebastian's writing box. I remember when his parents gave it to him the day he set off for Oxford. I was so jealous of him. It's an elegant piece of equipment. Approximately 15 inches wide, I'd say. 9 inches deep and 6 inches tall. Made of solid mahogany with a decorative brass strap binding it on either side. There is a small lever on the side of the box. Oh my God. There's a secret compartment underneath the leather writing surface. What's in there? A book, a notebook, and some letters. Council of Nicaea, 325. Council of Constantinople, 381. Council of Chalcedon, 451. Sebastian seems to have made a half-hearted attempt at taking notes, but only the first few pages are filled in. For the rest, he just hastily jotted a couple of sentences or covered the page with caricatures of his lecturers. This looks interesting, though. Dog-eared and covered in fingerprints, it was obviously well read. The Sayings of the Desert Fathers. It appears to be a collection of rules and quotes from early Christian monks who withdrew into the Egyptian desert in the 5th century. This quote is underlined. Live as though crucified, in struggle, in loneliness of spirit, in goodwill and spiritual abstinence, in fasting, in penitence, in weeping. I'm too hazy-minded and foggy right now to make much sense of it. I couldn't possibly deal with memories of Sebastian without taking a shot of morphine first. I wonder if there are any other hidden compartments. And there's something else in it. Ah, there's a couple of buttons hidden beneath a sloping surface. Oh my goodness, what is this? A diary. 50 or so pages filled with writing, small, tightly packed and often spilling into the margins. This must be a great discovery. The foresters made no mention of a diary. Are they ignorant of its existence? But it's the letters I want to read now. This one was sent 10 years ago from Windermere. That's shortly before Sebastian's disappearance.
Dear Mother and Father, you will by now have heard that I have left Oxford and that I am staying in the Lake District. Please do not worry. I shall try to explain in this letter what has driven me here. I have been at Tatham Hall for over a year now, and I have become convinced that I cannot leave England and go to Madagascar to teach as you wish me to. I have nothing to teach. I am a wicked, selfish, ignorant fool, and I only have things to learn. Father will know what I mean. At Tatham Hall, they teach us to read and interpret the ancient texts, to decipher the parables, to explain the apparent contradictions. But in my view, all this is futile. Religion is not a science. It is not a history lesson. Religion is about faith. This strange and otherworldly sensation that fills your heart and drives you into a state of ecstasy. Faith cannot be explained. It should not be explained. Faith is not about knowing. It's about believing. That is our only connection with God. Faith, as opposed to knowledge, can only exist if we live in ignorance of the facts. How can I explain God's words to another? It is impossible. God does not speak in words. He speaks in feelings, in instincts, in passions. And it is by these means that he has spoken to me. He has called me, and I have decided to follow his call. I do not know where it will lead or for how long I shall have to travel, but please do not worry. Just pray for me. Pray that I shall prove myself worthy for God to enlighten and redeem me. Again, Father will know what I mean. He won't understand or agree, but he'll know. I shall write again soon. I promise. Yours lovingly, Sebastian.
The second letter was written in Oxford and received only 6 weeks ago.
Dear Mother and Father, you will be surprised by this letter after 10 years. Much has happened to me since we last saw each other, and I don't know where to begin explaining, but I should like to see you again. Please write back and tell me how you are. Yours lovingly, Sebastian.
There are some striking differences between the two, both in calligraphy and style. The first looks like it was written by a confident and flowing hand, whereas judging by the pressure applied to the pen and the missing joints halfway through the words, the second looks like it was written considerably slower and with much greater effort, as if the writing of it caused the author physical pain. This might also account for the abruptness of the style. However, the size, shapes, curls, and dashes of the letters are consistent. I'll have to read them again when I'm sober, but right now my inclination is that the second letter was written by the same author as the first, from which I can conclude the writer is not an impostor, and that Sebastian Forrester is still alive.
In this episode, the parts were played as follows. Billings, David Ault. Clarkson, Bob Lawrence. Jack, Sarah Bowers. Dwight, Mike Young. Mrs. Appleby, Tanya Rich. Mrs. Forrester, Laura Mirsky. Mr. Forrester, Kareem Cronfley. Sebastian, Matt Sykes. Audio Mystery Theatre is free to listen to, but not free to make. If you want to show your appreciation, please consider buying us a virtual cup of coffee at ko-fi.com/audiomysterytheatre. That's ko-fi.com/audiomysterytheatre. With theatre spelt the British way. That is, with R-E at the end.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.